to get dressed for this stuff. I don't want to get dressed.
So, just here to ask you a couple questions. Pretty much like, talk about us growing up together. You can do that right now if you want to. Tell like a little, if you want to talk about like your story. We didn't always have it great. Still kind of don't, but we still make good moves. So, if you want to get into that, go ahead.
Growing up, I had to watch Wayne all the time. He was bad as hell. He was so bad. Like,
Really?
he was so bad. Like, it was the worst thing ever. I begged my mom to go work at Burger King for Wendy's rather than to watch him. I'm like, I'll pick up trash off the ground than watch him. He was so bad. But it was perfect birth control because I didn't have my first child till I was 29. So thank you, Wayne.
That's okay. That's crazy.
What?
I want to get into like how you went from like junior high school to college, pretty much. You want to get into that running start or OC?
Yeah, so I was in high school for like a year and a half, and
Like a
then
day.
I took a test for this program called Running Start, where you can basically take high school and community college classes at the same time. So I went into high school planning to take the test, and I was like, high school is lit. Like, I actually want to stay here. But then, like, by sophomore year, all my friends got pregnant, and then they went to alternative school. And
Sounds
I'm like, so I ain't got nobody to talk to or hang out with no more because they're all in alternative school. So I was like, you know what? I guess I'll just do this running start thing. So I took the test the first time and I did really bad on it because I was in and out like within 5 minutes. It's supposed to be like a 90-minute test, but I had gym class prior and it was raining and my hair, like, when you got natural hair, like, I look like a chia pet. Our gym teacher did not care. She made us run in the rain. So I came and then I forged a signature to skip the rest of my classes. And I called my sister. And I was like, yo, can you and your boyfriend come pick me up? Because I look crazy. I was hiding in the gym shower and stuff. And so everybody went to the next class and I snuck out. And then sister's boyfriend, he was like, oh, and he saw me because my hair. So I didn't pass the test that time, but then my mom basically threatened me the second time, and I had no choice but to pass it, so I passed it the second time. I did all my classes at the college, because it was just too much to go back and forth between high school and college, and then they were kind of mean to me there. They were calling me a felon teen because I was only 16 years old.
Why the felon team part? Why the felon part?
Because like I'm underage, like, because guys would try to come talk to me and they'd be like, I'd just be by myself at the
Yeah.
table eating and stuff, and they could try to come up to
That
me.
was Shy Kiki.
Yeah,
Shy
like,
Kiki definitely.
they was like, yo, Shorty, how old are you? And I was like, 16. And oh, y'all, you a felon teen. We can't hang out with you, do this. So I was just like, oh, okay.
Growing up in Bremerton, there's not like a lot of people that like come from where we come from, make it like big and stuff. What was it like the first time you realized you wanted to like leave Bremerton and like go off and do your thing?
My whole life, I knew I wanted to leave Bremerton. I'm like, this is not it. No disrespect to Bremerton, because that's where I came from, whatever. But no, that was not it. Even like in high school, like when all the girls would be like tripping over these ugly men that don't even look like they shower, I'm like, this is not it, girl. This is not the life. This is not for me. And then they come back the next day and then they play you in front of their old, ugly, musty friends. I'm like, nah, this is not for me. So I didn't know exactly what I wanted to do, but I knew, I don't know, you just, in all seriousness, like, you just kind of have a feeling like you're meant for more. So that's why I was like, my way out of here, I saw early on, was like through college, because our military was not for me. So I was like, college, whatever, college route. So let me go ahead and study and write these stupid papers or whatever that my teacher wants me to do so I can go off and go to college, because I just knew deep down, like, I was meant for more than what I saw around me.
What was like the first college you want to go to, like outside of like when you like in Bremerton? What was like the college?
The college I wanted to go to was Wazoo.
Wazoo, and the party school.
I was gonna go there with my friend Ashley Moore at the time, but she passed away in a car accident, and she's the one who really talked me into going to Wazoo because I didn't want to stay in state, and I was like, "Oh, Wazoo's lit!" So we were gonna go together, but she had passed away. So then I was like, "Okay, well, I'm not going to Wazoo now," and I started looking into Howard, and Howard just looks so lit online, on the Howard website.
What like made you like really like made you want to like go to Howard though? Like, what was like the, was there like a certain thing that was like, okay, I'm about to just go here?
I was like, look at all these black people. No, I'm just kidding. But no, that, and then this, you could just, I don't know, just like you could just feel the energy through the computer. It was just like something that I needed. I felt like it was just something that, what I felt was missing in my life, I felt like it was at Howard. And when you just go on the website and then you just learn about all the amazing people that went there, from Diddy to, oh my, everybody freaking went to Howard. I can't even name them all. Like, what? Everybody went to Howard. Just look at it. Anthony Anderson went to Howard. Taraji P. Henson went to Howard. Lance Gross, Chadwick Boseman. Like, what? Like,
you remember your first homecoming?
Yeah, my first homecoming was so ratchet. But I went and it was so good. Like, it was good ratchet, like a good ratchet. Yeah. First time going out, I wasn't a partier, so that was the only time like I went out. And you know, I got cute. I was broke, but I did what I could within my, you know, within my $10 budget, and it was cool. And then my sister, or our sister, she came. She went to GW, but she came to the hood side of DC and partied with us. And then had some friends from back home in Washington that came out there, so it was lit. It was lit, minus all the, you know, grabbing and stuff. Like, it was fine.
Also, like, I don't know if people know, you did, like, 100,402,000, like, internships at Howard. Like, what was, like, the, like, do you remember your first internship and how did you get it?
My first internship in general, or?
Yeah, just at Howard. Like, when are you?
Oh, at Howard, my first internship was at a radio station, and WPGC 95.5 FM. And it was like the most lit radio station in the city at the time, and it was just so far. It was way out in Maryland, you know, they call it DC DMV, DC Maryland Virginia. It was way out in Maryland, and, you know, I didn't drive or nothing, so I had to catch two trains and a bus, or was it two buses and a train, something like that. I had to catch mad stuff to get there on public transportation. It took like an hour, a little over an hour to get there, and then once I get off the bus, I have to jaywalk. We're not on a regular street, like across a highway. I have to jaywalk across the actual highway. So it was a journey every day and try not to get hit by a car. But yeah, that was my first internship and I loved it. And I walked in there and Big Tigger was on the radio. And Big Tigger, you're too young. You probably don't remember.
I remember BET.
But yeah, he was huge on BET. He had the Rap City, The Basement, and then he was hosting 106 in Park for a while. He was like so lit. And then for the longest, I was watching BT. I don't see Big Tigger no more. So when I walked into the radio station, I'm like, yo, I found Big Tigger. Like, he's over here on the radio.
How was that? Like seeing somebody you like grew up on, like watching on TV, and then you actually like see them in person?
That was amazing because I didn't see nobody in Bermerton. I literally didn't see nobody. There was like not one famous person. The most I've seen is when I went on a field trip to Seattle and like met like the reporters at Channel 5 News, and that was it. Like, I didn't see nobody. So, you know, I was like, you know, I'm an act professional. I'm like, oh my God. And then like I leave and then I call our sister. I keep saying my sister. Our sister. And I'm like, oh my God, we're a bitch. And it's like crazy now because I've interviewed everybody and I'm like, Big Tigger, like it was so dope. It just felt like I was making the right step towards something. I didn't even know exactly what I wanted to do, but I just felt like I was in the right place because it was like I wasn't even in DC for like 6 months and then I'm already working in this environment with someone that I grew up on and idolized. So it was so much fun and everyone there was so nice to me. I worked so hard. They gave me a super intern award in front of all the other interns. I was like, yeah, bitches.
You still have it?
Super intern.
You don't have it?
It wasn't like an award. It was like some ghetto stuff, like in a box or something. I don't know, but I didn't care. I was like, I'm the super intern. I don't care if they gave me a badge. I'm like, yo, I'm the super intern, and y'all are my intern peasants because I'm the super intern.
Can you tell the people about like your elevator pitch and like what internship that was for?
Elevator pitch. Okay, so I was in this program called EPP. It was Industry Power Players, but industry with an E. Little ghetto, but it's cool. That's what I was in at Howard. And oh my God, it was like you had to pledge to get into that. That was a whole thing. It was like a whole, like you had to do the most. Like we had to act like we were on The Apprentice. We had to do so much to get in it. Like it was like a program, but you couldn't just get into it. Like they only picked like 9 of us out of like a couple hundred or whatever. So I got in there, and that's when I learned about the industry, about the entertainment industry, and so many people in there who are my close friends to this day, but we all worked and hustled. And that's when I learned about an elevator pitch, and basically like how you can sell yourself to someone that you meet if you have the opportunity to be in someone important, like, you know, without being prepared. What are you gonna say in a minute? Because you don't have that much time. In a minute, what can you say in a minute to convince someone to, you know, hire you or whatever, or work with you or whatever you want? And then try to go down even lower. What can you say in 30 seconds? What can you say in 15 seconds? So that's what I learned about that. And I actually experienced it at Howard when this lady, this amazing woman named DePelsha McCruder, she was, I know she's still with Viacom now, but she was like the senior vice president, I can't believe, of something at MTV. And she came and spoke to her class. So she was already mad after class because someone in the class, who happened to be my partner for the class project, but anyway, he was dumb. And I guess she had just spoke to his class before, the class he was in prior. So before she comes and speaks, he raises his hand. He's like, I just listened to you speak. So when you speak again, can you like make it in it like not boring? Like he was so, trying to be funny. But like no one was laughing. We're like, oh my God, did he really just say that? And she was pissed. So after she spoke, she like stormed out of there. I'm like, hi, Ms. McGruder. My name's Kiki Ayers. Da, 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 da. And she's like, and I was like, yeah, but you know, I saw they had they had MTVU back then, which was like MTV University or whatever. Like it was on all the campuses, universities, a channel for MTV college students. So like, I was like, I saw you had like, you know, internships available for MTVU and da da da. She's like, well, you need internship experience. I was like, I do actually work at the radio station, da da da. And I did it. She was just like so mad. And I was just telling him, like, yo, I have experience right now, I promise, and da-da-da-da, I'm in this program called EPP, which I'm sure she didn't care about, but I cared about. So then she was like, okay, just email me. And then I literally, like, I had class right after, but I just didn't care. I ran right to the iLab, and I went and emailed her my resume and stuff. She had it before she even got in her car, I'm sure. Like, I emailed it so quick. I'm like, I'll email you my resume. So I, hi, Mr. Gruder, da-da-da, and then I went to class a little late. But yeah, she literally the next day, the higher up at MTVU marketing department, his name was Chris McCarthy, I don't know, but he emailed me and he offered me the internship. I was like, damn, girl, you way high up. I ain't been 24 hours. And the internship, of course, is in New York, and I was going to school in DC, so then, you know. Empire State of Mind. I was lit at 19, interning at MTV, and then working across the street at Junior's Cheesecake. That's where Diddy made them all walk to go get the cheesecake. So for the one in Brooklyn, I worked at the one in Manhattan, and that's when internships weren't paid. And I got paid $10 an hour. All my friends was getting $8 an hour. I was like, wish a little $8.
So you were still in DC, like, and going traveling to New York?
No, this was summer. It was a summer internship. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but so like, well, how was like your first time being in New York?
Amazing. It was like so many oh my God, I thought actually my first 2 minutes there I almost got hit by a taxi. So I wasn't paying attention. You know, you're just like on your phone, you see other people crossing the street.
Yeah.
So I'm walking too, but of course, you know, people jaywalk like shit there. Yeah. And then the guy, I wouldn't even know, the guy turned around, looked at me, he's like, yo, be careful. And then literally, a taxi, like, right in front of me, didn't even honk or nothing. Like, he was just going to kill me and keep going. And I was like, welcome to New York, bitch.
So, like, what are some, like, do you have any challenges outside of that, like, getting your other internships?
Not really. I didn't really have any challenges getting internships. I mean, for BET, it was like applying for college all over again. They wanted everything. So, I mean, the first time I applied, like, I didn't hear back because I sent everything piece by piece because they wanted so much. And the second time, like, he could just do it the right time, put everything in one package together. And then I just heard back immediately, and that was an amazing internship. And then I had to do a news station internship that was a requirement for school, which I hated. And that's when I knew I did not want to do local news. I hated that. But it was at NBC4, local DC station. The people there were cool. I just waking up at like 4 a.m. every day to go out with reporters and report on stories. Like, I was tired. So I was like, this is not for me.
What was the best advice you got, like, during, like, your internship that you probably, like, use to today?
I didn't really get no advice. They was like, Kiki, do this. I'm like, okay. And then I did it. What's next? And then people just loved my work ethic, and I was just so bubbly and happy. I was never like, oh, okay. I was just so excited to do it. And I was like, I don't know, maybe I think it's where I came from too, and coming from humble beginnings, like, working was never a problem for me. Like, I felt so grateful to have those opportunities. I was the only person in college at Howard, and just in college in general, at BET, working, like, these major events. I'm the only person that's up there, like, 20 years old at 19 years old at BET Awards and stuff, and I would have to skip class to go work for a week and then bring back, you know, like $1,500 and stuff, you know, just working.
How was that like how was, like, your first like BET award show?
That was amazing. I couldn't believe they asked me to go, and not only did they ask me to go, you know, I was interning, my internship had just ended, you know, BET Awards is in summer, they paid me to come be a production assistant. You know, you're a production assistant, you just moving around water and juices and lifting this, lifting that, putting print things on, you're doing literally whatever needs to be done, you're running around, your feet hurt, and I just would work 12, 14, 16 hour days, go sleep, shower, come back, not complain or anything, like, they loved me, I was, like, the best, I mean, that's their words, you know, I was the best production assistant, so then I kept getting hired for more and more BET events, and I was just super grateful, because I wasn't making no, I'm like, whoa, did I just make $1,000 check, like, wow. Doing something that's cool. Yeah, so that was my first time in LA too, flying to LA. I don't even know where I was at. I was in some, you had to pay for your own hotel and transportation too. I didn't care though. But I was like, you know, I'll make it back. You know, the difference I made back wasn't that much, but it was still something. But yeah, I stayed at the grimiest hotel. It was so dirty. I think it was a motel actually, because I couldn't afford in LA. Yeah. But I mean, I was just so thankful to be there. I'm like, wow, like, I'm working. It was the 2010 BET Awards. It was their 10-year anniversary because, you know, they first started BET Awards in 2000. So it was a 10-year anniversary, and it was a really good award show. And people were writing me on Facebook. They're like, Kiki, we knew you were a part of this because it was actually good this year. And I'm like, don't play BET. Don't play BET. I didn't have nothing to do with the writing or nothing. I was just there. But it was... it was such an amazing experience. I thought that was a war show where Chris Brown and people started loving him again, where he did the Man in the Mirror performance. Yeah, like, he was like, oh, Chris. I remember being in the production office. He was like, oh, Chris. Oh, I just want to hug him. Like, it was such a good show. So it was a beautiful experience. I didn't really see anything outside of LA. All I knew of LA was that dirty motel. So I didn't really get to experience LA because I was working, but it was just so cool to see so many Black people of excellence in one spot. It was amazing.
So after college, you went to New York. You, where did you work at again?
Okay, so I had no problem getting internships. I had a hell of a problem getting a job, which was a shocker to me. I didn't intern my whole college experience. I was at none of the frat party, none of the sorority party. I wasn't on the yard. I didn't barely did homecomings. Like, y'all can't give me a job? I'm still working hard out here. You can't give me a job? I was so mad. And then that's when people were getting in my ear. They're like, yeah, you know, the people graduated. Tell me names of people that graduated 3 and 4 years of before me can't get a job in their industry. And I'm like, listen, the way these student loans are set up, I'm not getting a job in my industry. But it took a while. So 6 months, I'm in New York, and I stay like with this nice Spanish family, like in a room. Like, I was on some ghetto stuff, like, in a room. And then with so I was doing odd jobs while I was staying there. And by odd jobs, I mean, like, I was going around, like, selling, like, kids and animals. Like, like, I was, like, for $1 a day, like, you know, you can buy this animal for $1 a day. You can sponsor this kid. And in New York, that's not the place to do that, especially when you have to buzz up. Yeah, so I would buzz up. Like, who the fuck is it? I'm like, hi, for $1 a day, get the fuck away from my thing. And I'm like, okay. So, yeah, it was hard. It was hard. And that was just off commission, too. That was such a bad job. So then I also worked for Macy's.com. But not cute. I worked where they packed all the packages and stuff. So I was over there taping everything. That prepared me for copycats. So I was over there taping boxes up and down, packaging, cutting myself, like, in a little, like, room. Like, it's in this nice building in Manhattan. All the nice stuff is, like, on the other floors where you shoot and style for Macy's. No, I was, like, at the bottom of the trenches. And one of the girls there, she was like, you know, can you see yourself doing this? And I said no to her, and I said no. I can't. So those were temp jobs. That's when I learned about temp agencies, and I went there, and that's what they gave me. Someone emailed me so randomly to apply for a job at Jerry Springer. And I was like, Jerry Springer is still on? Like, I thought they were all, like, syndicated. I know. I'm like, wait, this show is still on? I grew up watching Jerry Springer. I'm like, what the heck? And they were like, yeah. So they were based in Stamford, Connecticut. So I had to catch the metro. I had to catch the subway to the metro and then catch the metro a little over an hour to Stamford. And I went and interviewed there, and I had to talk with myself in the mirror. I said, okay, Kiki, this is it. Like, do you want to go back tomorrow to these damn boxes and selling babies and animals? Or do you want to do this trash talk TV? Like, get it together. So I looked in the mirror. I said, Kiki, you're going to walk out of here with a job. And that's what I did. I walked out there with it. They loved me. They
were, how was that experience like?
I mean, I did sign some papers saying that.
Oh, NDA. Oh, don't. We don't want you to get sued.
I hate it. I won't go into details.
So what did you do after Jerry Springer? I will just get out.
So this is what happened. So I only worked at Jerry Springer for 6 months, but literally as many hours as they're making you work there, 80 plus a week. I felt like I aged 10 years and like I worked there forever. I'm like, wow, it's only been 6 months. So in December after the holiday party, I put in my 2 weeks notice and I say, you know what? I don't care. I'm not coming back here. I'm not coming back. I don't know where I'm going. I will go back to selling babies and kids. I should stop saying it like that.
I know, it sounds so bad.
Yeah, it sounds bad. Like, I wasn't selling babies. I was selling the sponsorship of babe. Anyway.
Like, for $1 a day, you can help this child out.
For $1 a day, you can help this child. And I would knock on doors, and they were on the phone and stuff in New York. They're like, what do you need, like $1? I'm like, no, I need your credit card. I need your credit card so the $1 comes out every month. That's what I need. So anyway, after that, I was just like, you know what, I'm going to figure it out. And in between, I kept in contact with MTV because for Jerry Springer, I worked there for 2 days. for like, they just need me to fill in for 2 days in their post-production department. And then so randomly, they didn't contact me at all while I was at Jerry Springer. So randomly, for the new year, they were like, hey, Kiki, can you come in for 4 days to help out? I'm like, yeah, of course. And 4 days just turned into like a year plus. And they just kept having me come back every day. So they would call me, you know, freelance, but then I, like, permalance, because I keep coming back every day. But it was just someone that looked out for me at MTV. I think they just knew I needed a job and I was just so nice and stuff. But yeah, it was so much fun. That's when Guy Code and Girl Code was big. That's when Nick Cannon brought Walden out back to MTV too. And that's when Walden out was like even bigger. It was such a fun experience. That's when I met one of my best friends, Rachel. And it was just such a fun experience there. Like it was such a fun experience. But I just felt myself being in the same predicament with every job, which is like, you know, this is cool. I could do this. I can climb up here and master it and, you know, climb the executive chain. But this is not what I went to school for. It's not what I want to do. Yeah. So I just kind of left again. Kind of put in my 2 weeks notice without knowing where I was going to go. And I said, okay, I'm going to move to Atlanta. And then I'm going to go to LA. And I was only in Atlanta for like 2 weeks. I got a gig working at BBC America. And then I went to LA. I got a job at Revolt, which is funny because when I left MTV and everybody wants to know where you're going, I told everybody, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go work with Diddy at Revolt. I was just capping. I just wanted to work there. I had no idea. I told everyone.
Up into existence.
Oh my God, I really did. Like, I've never, like, I told everyone, I'm like, yeah, I'm about to go work with Diddy at Revolt, da 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 da. And it really ended up happening. Like, it was so crazy how it happened. Because at the time, you couldn't even find anybody on, like, anybody. Like, it was like a secret agency. You didn't know who worked at Revolt. Like, it wasn't, like, no one had their name pop up on LinkedIn or nothing. And then I finally found someone on LinkedIn, Tuma Basta. I kept trying to reach out to the president, Andy Schoen, and hear anything back. There's only two people I could find. And then I got an email like, you know, can you get on a Skype call with us for Revolt? And I was working the job in Atlanta and it was like on site doing all this like magic show tricks, which scared me. It was like on some demonic stuff. Like it really scared me. So I just kind of like walked away and did my Skype interview. I was like, I don't care about y'all. I might work at Revolt. So I did my Skype interview. They loved me and they messaged me again. Like, can you get on Skype again? This was a couple days later. And I'm like, yeah, walked away again, did what I needed to do. And that's when they offered me the job. And they were like, you know, when can you be out here? And how much do you want to make? And I was like, you know, I'm trying to get my driver's license right now. I could be out there in like 3 months and I would like to make this much. And they were like, listen, we're launching. We need you out here in like 2 days. But we'll give you what the amount you're asking for. Oh, what? Y'all don't pay me what I asked for. And I'm there. I left that job. I waited till like 2 a.m. Had my homie Devin. I called him up like, yo, he was in Atlanta. I'm in a whole different part of Georgia. Like almost 2 hours away. I'm like, yo, can you, this is before Uber. I was like, can you come scoop me please? And like, I'll give you some gas money. And that's when I knew Atlanta was cheap because I gave him $40 and he acted like I gave him $1 million. He was like, wow, $40. Then took me to go eat breakfast in Chick-fil-A or whatever. And then like, and then I worked the BET Hip Hop Awards in Atlanta and then flew to LA the next day. The next day started Revolt.
So how was like launching Revolt? Like, how was that? Was it like, did you feel any pressure? How was you, like, how were you during that time?
I also signed paperwork at Revolt. Oh, that's what I'm talking about. I'm just kidding. But I will say the good thing. So Revolt, like, that's how they get you. They'll be giving you a last check until you sign things. I don't know if that's legal, but I need that last check. I got time. But anyway, so, yes. So I worked, over 60 plus days straight, not one day off when I first moved to LA. And they told me they're gonna put me in hotels. So I lived across the street from Revolt in the Lowe's Hotel, which sounds amazing, but when you're working that much, like you don't even want to be in that area. Like I don't even want to look out my window and see Revolt. Like I don't want to see anything. Like I hate that area. Even when I walk by it to this day, I'm like, oh, I hate it. Like it's PTSD. So I worked nonstop, like because I worked in music programming. And most TV stations, they have about like 8 hours of original programming, meaning like it's all new content. Revolt had like 21 hours of original programming and all of it was music videos. And that's the department I worked in. So we're over here trying to launch, you know, trying to get all the record labels to send us the rights to the videos and the actual video files. And then we have to go put, that's when you see the little lower thirds on TV, appreciate those, okay? When you see the artist name and stuff, appreciate those, because that was me. And then we dealing with a different time, right? Where they switch over from SD TV, the little box TVs, to HD TVs. You got to do something with that. It was a lot that went into that. I'm all for these music videos. And it was just a lot. It was, and then Diddy was like, oh, we need you at a breakfast meeting. We need you guys at a breakfast. So I'm literally ordering a breakfast sandwich at the spot next door. And I had come from no sleep. I literally had like an hour of sleep, went change. I was like, all I want is a breakfast sandwich. I did everything you all wanted last night, stayed in this place by myself. Then two people run up in there. Yo, Diddy wants you at his house. We gotta go. And like, I just ordered. Can y'all just wait like 5 minutes? I just ordered my burrito. Like, can I just get my, they're like, no, we gotta go. Da-da-da. So that was my first time at Diddy's house, and he's over here talking. I couldn't focus. I'm just like, where's the breakfast? Like, you didn't say it was a morning meeting. Like, you said it's a breakfast meeting. Like, where's the breakfast? I thought, you know, it's Diddy. I thought it was going to be like a long buffet table of eggs, bacon, you know what I'm saying? Like, like just, you know, just salmon, anything for breakfast, a whole fruit platter. We were just in the living room chilling, like, oh, let's talk about the playlist and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, this is cool, but, like, where's the breakfast? So then he, like, stops talking. We, like, you know, start talking amongst ourselves to work out things. And then, like, I'm watching him, like, going to each room. I'm like, oh, okay, so, like, he must be going to go get the breakfast. Like, yes! So then, like, he leaves his own house and just, like, leaves us there. And I'm like, okay, I'm sure somebody will come out with the breakfast. Nobody ever came out with the breakfast.
Yo, what is wrong with you, yo?
So you left Revolt, and then you pretty much started like Air Publicity after that. Can you talk about like, during the like, where were you like? How was like you during that time
period? Yeah, so while I was at Revolt, I started getting into red carpets and hosting and journalism. I was like, LA is the perfect place to do it. So I just, you know, started out small, and then I just started interviewing bigger and bigger and bigger celebrity. Everyone like. Oh my God, everyone like Samuel Jackson, Queen Latifah, George Clooney, Ryan Gosling, like, oh my God, Ice Cube, like everyone I was interviewing, it was amazing and it was fun. Revolt, without saying too much, they want everybody to sign like new contracts, and I didn't want to sign it just because of the stuff that was in it. And that's when, Straight Outta Compton came out, and everyone's like, yeah, you're acting like Ice Cube not signing the contract. I'm like, well, look at Ice Cube now. So I didn't sign it. I'm like, you know, forget this. Like, I'm just going to go ahead and be a reporter full time. So that was beautiful. The only thing is, like, it didn't pay Diddy money. Like, I was getting, like, $50 a carpet. If I edited, hosted, and wrote, I might get $150. I might. Get $150. So I wasn't getting anything. So I just fell into a situation where I was homeless because I'm in expensive LA. I might get a carpet once or twice a week, $50. Like, that's not doing nothing. And I got an Uber there. Like, I'm literally in a negative. So I fell in a situation where I was homeless for 16 months. And I would just go back and forth between different hostels. I'd be in hostels with 16 plus people, men and women. Co-ed, can't leave none of your stuff. People's floors, people's couches. I tried to check into a cheap hotel. I literally called our sister crying because there was like, it wasn't even a hotel. It was a motel, cheap one, and it was like, come on the bed sheet, and they would not switch my room.
Oh, damn, this gross as fuck.
It was disgusting. So I just left. Like, I'm like, can't sleep here. It was just, and I didn't feel like it was safe. Like, the door didn't even lock, the front door, the door to my hotel room did not lock. And I'm like, what? So like, it was just like a crazy situation because you wake up every morning wondering where you're going to sleep at night. And you start off with, you know, a good amount of things, and you have to condense. The more you move, summer was hot as hell trying to take everything. I literally spent every day trying to figure out where I'm going to sleep at night. So it was a crazy situation. I was like, oh, were you like really homeless? Yeah, I was like for real homeless, like for real. So one night I was supposed to stay at this girl's house, and she like flaked on me last minute, and it was super late because I was trying to text her, and I was like in Starbucks, stayed there till it closed on Hollywood Boulevard. So now it's like 11 p.m. and then I'm still trying to text her, and now it's like midnight, almost 1. So then I just have my little busted laptop I got from college, and then I go into Lowe's Hotel, the same one I stayed at that Revolt put me in. And that was the only thing like that was like open. So I just walk into the lobby bathroom, just walk straight into the bathroom. And I know like the people at the front desk saw me. So I'm just like, oh my God, I hope they didn't notice I don't walk back out the bathroom because I'm definitely sleeping here tonight. So I go into the bathroom stall and I'm just like in there and I'm like hearing people. Sometimes I hear like people come in and I'm like, oh my God, I hope it's not the staff. Just paranoid, you know? So they didn't like calm down. I think the lobby like officially closed. You know, they have a bar there in
Atrium. Yeah.
So officially closed. Then I just pull out my laptop and I didn't cry or anything. I'm just like, you know, I just went into like survival instincts. I'm like, yo, how the hell? I was living good when I was working at Revolt. I had this nice little loft and stuff in downtown LA. And I'm like, how the hell did you go from this to like bunk beds and hostels and people's floors and cum infested hotels? And so I was like, you know, what can you do to make the money you want to make and live the way you need to live in LA? Like, ideally, if I can live decent, like, not crazy luxury, just decent, you know, the way I would like to live in LA, how much do I need to make? So that was, like, the first time in life I ever did a budget. And I just, like, pulled out an Excel sheet. I'm like, okay, this is how much the average decent, you know, apartment costs. This is how much, you know, utilities are going to cost, phone bill, da-da-da-da. So then I'm looking at my emails, and all I'm seeing is mainly, like, press releases and correspondences with publicists, because that's what you do when you're a reporter. You're always talking to publicists. You know, I'm sure you talk to them all day. Where is the buzz? Yeah. So something was like, oh, why don't you try out PR, you know? So I was like, you know, I'm just going to start Aries Publicity. I had a few friends that were actors and, you know, just in a, you know, just social comedians and stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm going to try to work with them. So randomly, around the same time, someone referred me that I used to work at Revolt to this company that works with Rush Card, and it was called Green Dot, and they paid me, they offered me like $1,100, $1,200 to write 3 stories and to promote them on my Instagram. They're looking for a journalist influencer. And I'm like, oh my God, like influencers get paid this much? Like, oh my God. So, and I only had like 18,000 followers at the time, but they paid me that, and I used that to get my LLC for Aries Publicity, and I did payment plans, of course. You could pay like 3 installments. So I was like, you know, while I'm waiting for that to come through, let me just try this PR stuff out. So I would go to the public library and pitch my friends. I said I could, you know, practice while waiting for my stuff, and that consisted of Rob Riley, who's my brother for life, and Kevin Fredericks, who's Kev on Stage, and I started pitching those two like crazy. And this, the first day of my PR experience, Ebony said yes to me. KTLA said yes. Ebony said yes for Kev. KTLA said yes for Rob. And then I forgot, someone else said yes. I was like, oh, this PR stuff is easy. This is easy. I'm gonna come back here tomorrow. I came back the next day. I was pitching all day. I didn't hear nothing. I was like, okay, whatever. Came back the next day, didn't hear nothing back. I'm like, okay, so let me find a strategy, because it was working the first day or whatever. So I just kind of like built up on that and just taught myself. I have all the press releases. I just learned, you know, to mimic those, to mimic things that I saw. And then, of course, you have the internet nowadays. There's no excuse why you can't learn how to do anything. And I just kind of taught myself PR. So honestly, when I said I was going to start Aries Publicity, I'm like, this is just something I'm going to play around with. And then it's going to like,
How did you feel like when you like first like you're like, oh, I own my own stuff now?
It took a while to feel real, because I wasn't charging correctly when I did start charging. So I'm still broke. So I didn't feel like, oh, I own this. I'm like, it just felt like a gig that I got decent money off of, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I did this task and get money, you know? But then when I, you know, talk to other people, like, girl, that's all you charge and you're getting all these amazing results. And when I learned, I looked up how much to charge, you just Google how much you're supposed to charge as a publicist. I'm like, God damn, let me go ahead and charge this. Then I felt like, okay, I own something, you know, I live like I own something now, you know.
So what was like the first time like you're like, oh, I'm actually starting to making like real money when you had Aries Publicity?
Probably like 6 months in, because I started charging like $500 a month and then $750 a month, and I was doing that for a while, and then I went up to $1,500 a month, and people are like, you should do at least 2. So Honestly, I didn't start charging the way I should charge until around the time I got pregnant with Jules. So I'm like, listen, you about to be a mom now. You got to figure it out. And anybody that knows me or is following me know I worked my behind off my whole pregnancy, like my whole pregnancy.
Yeah. Also during your pregnancy, you started another company, Copycat, which is like, who does that when they're pregnant? Like, what would you like?
Do something for my child, and everybody's like, oh, do YouTube. And I'm like, everybody's on YouTube. Like, yeah. No, I'm not even like a YouTube person. So, and then, you know, the child I have, you know, about to sit in no front and no camera, like one of those, he'll be like, why the hell are we, you know, Joel, my son is disrespectful. So, yes, yeah, so I got inspo because I was looking for maternity shoot inspo, and then I would see like families pop up a lot when I was searching, and they were just wearing like, plaid, like ugly plaid or like ugly cheap denim, and I'm like, oh, like there's really nothing for families to match. So that's when I came up with the idea to start a matching parent kid clothing line, Copycat. And then I was like, you know, this is a business I'll start for my son because I can live off Eric's food.
What's it? That's dope.
Generational wealth.
Did you like, what was like the challenges during like your pregnancy and starting a business? Kind of like some people that are pregnant, they're like they don't want to like pursue anything, which is like difficult already because like you're pregnant. Like, but like, what are like some challenges you face
to start the business or just while?
Well, like during your whole pregnancy, like doing Copycats, because you know, it's a clothing company, you have to go do fabrics and all this other stuff and everything. Yeah,
I mean, well, my biggest challenge was just like my business started growing like crazy. We ended up getting posted by the Shade Room, and that's when I started getting like crazy inquiries and stuff like that. So it was just, you know, delivering what I'm supposed to deliver on the PR term and just trying to make sure I have a healthy pregnancy, because at the end of the day, like, that's what comes first. You want to make sure your child's, you know, safe and healthy, and you can't do that if you're stressed out. And then I was just getting all these opportunities I didn't want to say no to. I was getting all these amazing speaking engagements. And I had delivered a keynote, which you came with me to, in Washington and stuff. And it was just, I felt bad for, like, taking a nap. Or, like, I was just tired. I remember you telling me, I was like, can you go lay down? Like, I felt bad, though. I'm like, I have so much work to do. I don't have time to take a nap. This baby wants me to sleep. Like, that was just my biggest thing. And it was just, like, a shock. I was still like, oh my God, I'm freaking pregnant, and just dealing with the fears you have of being a new parent. And you know, I didn't have my own spot yet either at the time, you know, so I was, you know, trying to save up for that to get it, you know, make sure I get a spot, and not only that, but the spot's fully set up by the time the child comes, and doing all of that. And like, oh, and then my relationship too, I was in, just went south. So dealing with all of that while you're pregnant is a lot, because you don't know what's going to happen. But that's what motivated me. I just wanted to make sure my son would be okay at the end of the day. That was all that mattered. And it just worked out, because I worked my behind off and I did exactly what I needed to do, and everything worked out perfectly. So
what are some advice you would have for like somebody that's pregnant that wants to like start a business or do something while they're like pregnant?
Oh, just do it. Do it. I mean, do it, but do it at a pace that's realistic. Do it at a pace that's realistic. Don't be too hard on yourself. If you're tired, take a damn nap. and if you get discouraged at any time, just remind yourself that you have a blessing that is growing inside of you. And that's your motivation right there, that blessing that you have right there. So that was my biggest motivator. Like, I'm so thankful for my son, because like without him, like, I know, it's just crazy to think how different my mindset was. I think I was comfortable getting like the decent rate I was charging, and my whole finance, my whole tax bracket changed just from having it. Children is a crazy motivation. Having that extra motivation, it's just crazy. I wouldn't have the clothing line at all. I wouldn't have been looking for maternity shoots or come across matching families, nor would I care. And even if I did, like, it wouldn't, the only thing that makes it fun is that, like, oh, I can also dress myself with my son and we can model it and it's for him, you know? But I don't know. So that would just be my advice, to just do it. Use your child as motivation, but also be realistic and don't be too hard on yourself.
So, okay, so you like been in Forbes, Essence, all these publications, Route 100s, you won countless awards. What's like your greatest accomplishment, like career wise, that you look up to? Like something that was like, yo, this is like really dope to like to me, like when you first achieved it.
Honestly, just I don't have one thing with me specifically. Like I think like with me, it's just cool. Like it was amazing to be in Forbes, especially because it came the morning after I did Floyd Mayweather's birthday party. So it was just back to back, and it's like this is someone. And that's another thing too. I didn't talk about when I first got into PR. A lot of publicists, you know, they reach out to me to interview their clients and stuff. They weren't supportive at all. They were very like mean about it and like on some hater tip stuff and just very negative. So they made me feel like I was gonna fail in PR before I even started. Oh, you're doing PR now, you're trying to be a publicist. I'm like, I'm just trying to survive, honestly. That's what I'm trying to do. But what made it meaningful was getting these black faces in these prominent publications. Like I didn't see anyone really putting black people, any publicists putting black people in Forbes, getting their faces in Forbes and in Business Insider and Entrepreneur and all these amazing publications that you don't see black people in. And it's just like, I generally like read Forbes and stuff way before I was in it. I'm like, you know, this is like a cool story, but like, what about the people who didn't come from money, who have these real stories to talk about, these people that didn't have an education to fall back that still made, like, this is a story, you know what I'm saying? Like, and me being able to help these black entrepreneurs, these black entertainers grow, their businesses grow, help their goals be achieved and stuff. A lot of them took their last money and used it, invested with me, hoping it would work out. And to be able to deliver, like, that's just amazing. Like me being able to help other people like that, especially within my community, that's awesome. But definitely being recognized by The Root is amazing. Being recognized in Black Enterprise, especially the way they did it with the video interview. Shout out to Selena. Like that was amazing. Like amazing opportunities. All that has helped my business grow, which helped my clients. You know what I'm saying? I just recently did a TED Talk, which will be up next week, by the way. My TED Talk in Atlanta, like, that's, like, what? I did a TED Talk? Like, that's, like, an amazing thing to accomplish. So, I mean, all of that is amazing. I just kind of take it, you know, at one step by step. But I have clients that I'm always focused on 24/7 that I don't even really think about myself. Even when I got the TED Talk opportunity, I was able to put on three of my clients for the same opportunity. You know, I'm never just thinking about myself. So, I mean, that's amazing, but nothing is cooler than being Jules' mom. Nothing is cooler than motherhood. My baby is so dope. Like, I have the dopest baby.
Talking about, like, PR still, like, say, like, if I, like, when's, like, a good time for somebody to, like, get PR for themselves?
A good time to get PR when you did something. People don't say, I don't want to be in this, and they don't do nothing. Well, I'm about to do this. I was thinking about doing this, or you can help me do this. No, I'm not going to help you write your book. I'm not going to help you launch your company. I'm going to help you get numbers up. I'm not going to help you. I mean, I'm going to eventually help with PR, but you have to start somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be like, oh, I'm thinking about launching a business. I want to hire you. I can't do nothing with about to. You know what I'm saying? People don't really pour on about to unless you are at a stature or a status in life where you've already achieved amazing things. You know what I'm saying? Like Jay-Z is going to invest in the cannabis industry. Well, we know it's Jay-Z is going to get done, right? So if you're Joe Smo from wherever, we don't know if you're going to do it because a zillion people have ideas and they never do it. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I can't pitch about to. It's a good time to get PR when you've actually done something and you accomplish something and then you want publicity around it. If you haven't done nothing, then I can't do nothing for you.
All right, before I let you go, I have enjoy your day and stuff. Where can like people follow you at and follow your business at and everything?
You know.
Okay, what, somebody that watches it.
At Kiki Ayers on everything. Kiki Ayers on Twitter. Kiki Ayers on Instagram.
I'll be using Twitter, fam.
Huh?
You'll be using Twitter.
I'm going to. Did you want to do it or you want me to do it? I'm doing it.
My bad. Go ahead. Go ahead. Shout your businesses out too.
I came up from Twitter before Instagram. That's where I got most of my followers from, Twitter. So don't play me. Anyway, you don't know. You wasn't even on Twitter. You was playing basketball in the park and stuff. You too young to know. Okay. So anyway, it's at Kiki Ayers on Instagram, at Kiki Ayers on Twitter. That's KIKIAYERS. Okay. You can shop copycatsinc.com, or you can go to our Instagram at Shop Copycats and shop through our Instagram page. Ayers Publicity is just at Ayers Publicity, or you can email me from my Instagram or the Ayers Publicity Instagram account. Email me, please. Don't DM me.
Does anybody want to shout out before we go?
Jules.
All right, shout out to Jules.
Jules Zion.
Jules Zion.
You can follow him too at I am Jules Zion.
about time. All right, thank you so much for being with us. I appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. Shout out to Wayne Ayers Podcast, yo. I just want you to know I'm your first guest, and when this blows up, I'm gonna keep reminding you that I was your first guest.
Okay, never mind. All right, peace out.